Now we start
Our cold
podcasting.
opens have been so repetitive lately.
In what way?
In that they're the same each week.
Like we're saying the same thing.
This essentially, like we're using a thesaurus and kind of going around it different ways.
Well, isn't that the same as the podcast?
No, I feel like we're exploring new avenues each and every week.
New realms.
Avenues. I chose my words very carefully.
Why avenues?
Fine, realms. Is it? Are we gonna split hairs? Hello and welcome to episode 298 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam.
In
Vancouver.
Vancouver, Germany.
Vancouver. Vancouver. Is there a Vancouver, Germany?
No.
That would be awesome.
Well, there's Vancouver, Washington.
Okay, that's close enough.
And is there a Tübingen, British Columbia?
I think so.
Probably up by, up by Hope somewhere.
Small town.
They filmed
small town.
Part of First Blood up there.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure there is, but I'll get back to you.
Yeah, there's not.
Okay.
Yeah. What's going on, Adam? Amazon's what's going on.
Oh yeah, Amazon.
We just got an email from a listener who,
Okay.
and I didn't get this in time to really work it into today's show.
But here we are.
But yeah, they said, geez, you know what? They're gonna be listening, and I actually don't know either way if it's a he or a she.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Well, it's a, and I'm assuming it's a Swedish name.
Okay.
And
Lay it on me.
Yeah, I don't know it off by heart.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so Swedish guy or gal.
Yeah.
I'm going to say our listener base is 80% male, I'm going to say. So let's
Yeah,
go with
but I,
guy. Let's play the
somehow
odds.
I'm thinking this is a female.
Oh no.
Yeah, she, I'll say she, and if I'm wrong, I'm just confusing multiple listener emails.
Oh yeah, because they're just the mailbag just pouring in.
We get some,
Okay.
Mr. Negative. Yeah.
I imagine a giant sack that gets dropped off.
Right, 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 right,
Is that
right.
not how it works?
Yeah. So I'm not gonna. I will get to the name next week. I'm sorry. I'm gonna say it's like Sonke.
Sure.
Something. There's umlauts in there, but Swedish umlauts, not the German ones.
Okay.
So there's
Is
that.
that is that over the E?
It's over the O,
Oh.
I think.
Okay.
You're gonna make me have to look this up now.
No, it's good. Okay, give us the gist of where you're going
Well,
with this.
she, or maybe he, and perhaps they can clear this up for us, extolled the virtues of buying a quality monitor
Okay.
to make sure you get, good looking images when you're doing in post. Not just to calibrate your existing monitor, but to actually spend money and buy a decent monitor.
Okay.
But the whole point was, is she slash he bought it through our site on Amazon.
Awesome, and probably never again after you offended them.
I don't think I've offended anybody.
Okay.
Maybe. Not the gender, but just the lack of research, possibly. Should I have Googled this person and found out where they
Yes.
live?
That would have
Should
been.
I have Google Earthed their house?
Maybe.
I think that would be weird.
That'd be creepy.
Yeah. When they say, "Yeah, I got a new monitor. I bought it through your site," and I say, "Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. I got
Yeah.
an aerial."
A little creepy.
Yeah, I'm just gonna ping my friend Edward Snowden, and he's gonna, "Yeah, I'm checking out your webcam."
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Adam, this is on you. You've gone a weird
Okay.
direction with
Okay,
this.
I got it. But they got a monitor, and that's also an important part to the photographer's workflow. That's what you're
Yes,
saying, right?
that's what they're saying.
That's what they're saying, and that's what we're saying, and
Yeah.
what we're suggesting is that if you're going to buy a new monitor,
Do like they did.
where should you get it?
Media Markt.
Okay. Okay.
No, that's a German store, and they're not a sponsor. Okay. Nor do I shop there, so. No, you should buy it on Amazon.
And I get the click through our site part. Yeah. It is only 3 months from Christmas, so have that in mind. Anyone wow. who's getting ready to start thinking about their shopping needs for the Christmas season, just buy everything this year on Amazon.
Have you started tearing things out of the Sears catalog yet?
No, I haven't. But I am going to do the bulk of my shopping for Christmas on Amazon because you know we're not shy about that.
Right.
It's easy.
I don't want to talk about it in September. Thank you.
No, you've got to start thinking ahead, man.
No, I don't want to. I'm not going to.
Okay, all right.
You've angered me now.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'll tell you what's going on besides that. I got a scenario to run past you. You got to tell me, well, you're going to tell me I am overreacting.
Yes.
Like, I'm not overreacting cuz I did nothing. There was no reaction, but internal monologue.
Okay. Well, let's hear it. I'll be the judge.
What's to do with my kids' school, like their kindergarten?
Okay.
Okay, you have kids. They've gone through preschool /
Perfect Angels.
The kids part is irrelevant. It's more the school part. Now, generally, I don't really care about the goings-on at the school. Because they're five. If they come home with all 10 fingers, we're good. Okay?
Gotcha.
That's what I think. I don't get too involved.
So far, you're okay.
So far, we're okay. My son started with 11, so he had the extra to spare.
Okay.
So he's all good. He's back down to 10 now.
Yeah.
But so generally, like they'll even have like the parent night where the parent has to go and meet and see what's going on, and I do not attend that.
Okay.
I see no reason for that. So my wife handles that part. Again, we're all good. Get them home at the end of the day. Now I drop my kids off at school, you know, in the morning and that. So I am definitely involved, but I don't care about that. However. And my daughter's five, and so they in their preschool, kindergarten, they have different age groups, okay? Mm-hmm. So it's different groups, and each year...
It's kind of how school works.
Right. But it's preschool is kind of different. I don't know how preschool works in North America. So they have essentially, well, not grades, but you're right, like, you know, grades kind of, going by age. So each year, that group gives themselves a name... For the whole year. So like last year, I think my daughter was the driving force and she named them the Heart Group.
Okay, that's super creative.
Yeah. Well, she was three at the time. Three and a half, whatever it was.
Yeah, no, I think she can do better than that.
No, they did. So this year, I guess they vote on it. Now the breakdown is, I don't know how many kids are in there, like 20 kids in the group or something, 12 kids maybe. I think the breakdown is like 9 girls, 3 boys.
Okay.
So that means the group's name is going to be stuff like that.
Butterflies.
That was my daughter's suggestion, as a matter of fact, for this year.
Okay.
It was the Schmetterling group. Schmetterling means papillon.
Okay.
Means butterfly. And so that was her actual choice, was butterfly. So they all, but generally, you know, if they all vote on it, well... The boys are out of luck, right?
Yeah, the punch in your throat team name is not going to happen.
No.
Okay.
No, that's not gonna pass. And so I guess this year, so I found out yesterday she came home, and the name of their group, not Schmetterling, not Butterfly.
Okay.
Their name in English, I'll do the translation for you. The Unicorn Astronaut Group.
Okay.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
And then came the anger.
Oh, no.
Because I basically...
You're overreacting.
No,
We can stop right there.
No. I didn't get angry, but a little bit. More so the message that was being sent by the people running the show, who are very nice people.
Okay.
Don't listen to the show. They might this week, though, actually. That was asked about my shirt today. But anyways... The thing is, and so I basically, before I heard anything, I basically broke it down with my daughter, and I said, all right, so here's how that went. So-and-so, one of the kids, I'll just call him Jeff, he wanted to be astronaut, all you girls voted on Unicorn, And so the teachers just kind of split it to make it fair for the boys, right?
Yeah, sounds about right.
That's exactly, she said, yep. And I even got the name right. I knew who suggested astronaut.
Yeah.
And I said, but
my dad, his dad's an astronaut.
No. His dad's actually a unicorn, which is odd. But here's my question though.
Okay, that was funny.
Once out of every 52 shows.
Yeah. I'm still thinking about that.
So here's the thing though. What message are we sending? That life has to be fair, so we're just gonna call every like. Maybe I've calmed down a little bit now. The day after.
Not really.
But I wanted to go in there and say, just call the astronaut. I don't care. Here's how I would have handled that. By the way, I would have said, all right, we're gonna put the names in the hat since we can't decide, and the boys shouldn't have to be called all the girls' names because you know 3 years of that, like that's gonna scar them for the rest of their life or something. Who cares what your group is called?
Right.
You know, you're not getting it tattooed on your forehead. So anyways, I would have handled it. All right, well, we're going to put both those names into a hat and we're going to draw one out and that's the one it's going to be.
Right.
And I would have just drawn out the astronaut one and said, all right, this year the boys can be astronaut because why can't girls be astronauts?
Right.
Nobody exactly. can be a unicorn.
That's true.
Except for that one kid's dad.
Yeah.
But he's set. Who cares?
I see. I knew you were going to say that. Yeah. I was already ready to laugh.
I didn't know I was going to say that one. Oh, okay. So anyways, I was saying, well, why can't you just be astronauts? And that would have been the way. But no, we have to please everybody. That's my point. Why do we have to make life super fair? I've been going on to great lengths to make sure my kids understand that life is not fair.
Yes, us as well.
Yes, and I appreciate that. That sometimes you get the rotten end of it, but sometimes you don't have to make sneakers in Singapore.
That's true.
I meant to say Malaysia.
Good point. Yep. Yeah. No, and I think we can go over, a million examples of this. This is everywhere. This is paramount to, you know, how our children are being raised, that, you know, everybody is trying to essentially make their lives perfect.
Yes.
So that nobody has to be uncomfortable anytime ever. And I am 100% on board with you. It's the wrong message to send. Like, you got to figure it out. You got to persevere. Nothing is going, like, parents can't fix everything for you and go, or the teacher or complaining so that, you know, you get things just so. That does not send the right message. So I'm 100% on board with you. And I think people need to knock this off.
Okay. But see, I stopped short of actually bringing it up at school today to say, hey.
No, I think you can't bring it up to school. You're going to offend everyone. And it's one of those things that, yeah, good luck with that. But I'm 100% on board with your thought process. So
last thing I need is Jeff's dad knocking on my door.
Yeah, with his horn.
Ringing the bell with his horn. Bing bong! Hey man, what's your problem? And I'm like, I understand the helmet would never fit you. That's why you couldn't be an astronaut. They're not going to make you a special helmet. I get it. All right.
Yeah. Oh dear, we've gone off topic.
His name is not Jeff.
Yeah.
It's Jeff with an umlaut in the middle. Yeah. So in German, it's pronounced Jeff. It's the same, just more aggressive.
Right, yeah. Just how you hit the E.
So, it constantly sounds like you're angry at Jeff.
Right.
Yeah. Welcome to Germany, man.
Okay.
So I'm assembling my new workbench. This is a whole different topic.
Okay, all right. Yeah,
bought a new workbench.
Yeah.
Because I enjoy building things, fixing things.
Okay, but you bought the workbench. You didn't make the workbench.
No. I needed one with a metal one and whatnot. And I wanted to keep stuff. I've been looking on our version of Craigslist.
Okay.
But just a whole bunch of jokes just flooded my head and they're all not appropriate.
Okay.
So looking on Craigslist, but our version here is called something else. And I think we talked about this last week, didn't we?
If we did, I wasn't listening.
Yeah, good for you. Anyway, could never find. I just want to get a used one. Can't find one. So I finally bought one. But I got it home and realized, wow, this thing is way too heavy. That guy helped me load it into the car at the store.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is way too heavy to carry down the stairs. Like, because I'm putting it in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
So I took it out of the box in the driveway and brought it down piece by piece. Hashtag genius.
Mmm. That's very smart.
Yeah.
Or you should have just got stronger.
I should have just got... Well, I actually saw you having to fly over and fix my back for me.
Okay. So and then thought, maybe this is, there's a better way.
Yeah. Like, hey, Jeff's dad, can you put a magic spell on this or what?
Doesn't get old.
That one's going to... I'm going to beat that one silly. So anyways, but what I realized today, putting the thing together with my son just poking me in the throat the whole time, I realized that it wasn't easy to put together, but it's kind of like a barrier to entry. Like if you can't put the workbench together, you don't belong, you can't use the bench. Like
that's
you're
right,
not smart enough to use the tools.
Right.
It's kind of like with Van Halen and their M&Ms back in the day. That was their deal.
In the dressing room or something?
In the rider, yeah. No red M&Ms.
Right, right.
And then they knew if they saw red M&Ms, there were some explosives that were going to go off incorrectly on stage.
Okay. That makes sense.
That's genius. Genius, Eddie. Or maybe Sammy Hagar. No, it's pre-Sammy Hagar. Yeah. DLR. All right. Photo stuff. That's what we talk about.
Yeah.
Shoot anything interesting this week?
I shot a little video on my iPhone of at the Pitch and Putt. Did you see this? I just posted it on Facebook.
I did see it.
Yeah, so that was my
lefty,
big
lefty, huh?
One. Oh yeah, we're all lefties around.
But isn't
here.
isn't he a right-handed hitter?
Nope, left-handed hitter, left-handed shot in hockey, all left, just like dad. Just seems to be the way it goes. My dad, everything left, and therefore, you know, I guess when you get shown things left, you do things left, and
yeah.
he's the exact same
way.
Are
you left-handed?
No, right-handed.
Okay. No, yeah. See, I shoot left, I swing left. I ended up golfing right because that was like back in the day, finding left-handed golf clubs expensive.
Yeah, you're hard to find.
Yeah,
sure.
So I just started golfing right, and that's how and it turns out, you know, I can shoot 135 from either side.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, on the front.
Same difference. Yeah, I mean, for now, it's crazy how many people now for left-handed golf clubs, it's a much closer split.
Yeah.
Like it's amazing how many people have become left-handed golfers just in the time frame of my lifetime. From when I was a kid trying to get golf clubs to now, it is night and day. And how many other kids that I see when we go to the golf course or pitch and putt, how many kids are swinging left? Like it's crazy what a difference. But I think, like you said, the availability wasn't there. And then there came along a fellow named Phil Mickelson, and then all of that changed. So
it's true.
Yeah.
That's true. He was a big catalyst for that. It's funny you mention that because over here in Germany, for baseball, everybody hits right.
They're okay.
So the point where not so much in my league, but if I play down in the lower leagues, like my first couple of years, when I would come to the plate, it would be a big deal. Hey, lefty! Everybody heads up, lefty! Like, and no one would do anything, but just all right. Well, it's a lefty now. Maybe take two steps to their left. I don't know, but everybody hits right, and I didn't understand. Like, couldn't figure it out. And we had practice last week, and we have this one kid on our team who he's on the junior team, and that's where he plays. But he works out with us because we want to develop players, and he's hitting and he's just struggling like all year. He's a pretty tall kid, just can't hit the ball. Like even when he hits the ball, it doesn't go anywhere.
Right.
And it shouldn't be. I mean, and it occurred to me finally at the end of the season, I said to this kid, it's Paul. Paul, how do you ride a skateboard? And he showed me, and I said, good. So he puts his right foot forward on a skateboard.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I think maybe you might be a left-handed hitter, and no one told you. And sure enough, he starts hitting left, and he can actually hit the ball left already.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah. So over here, everyone, they just, all right, well, you're right-handed, you go hit right. That's the end.
Yeah.
And so that's all he ever did. And I said, wow, you just wasted 5 years.
Yeah.
Probably should have just started this earlier. So.
But maybe he's ready for the big leagues soon then.
I think we're going to dodge that bullet.
Okay. All right.
He's a good kid. Good kid, likes to work hard. And so I'm very pleased. But anyway, so Jack shoots left.
Jack Sheets left, and yeah, I took a few clips of him at the pitch and putt. He likes going to the pitch and putt. We've gone a couple times, and then I thought, when I took the video clips in my head, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna mesh this with some Happy Gilmore audio, which
classic.
Yeah, I mean, I love Happy Gilmore, and so yeah, I just put a few audio clips laid underneath the golf stuff that sort of seemed to make sense for me, and I made a 30-second little video, which the kids think is hilarious, and they watched probably, I don't know, 30 times on the Apple TV this morning. So yeah, check it out. That's on our Facebook site. So I'm trying to promote our Facebook page here. That's what I'm doing here. I'm sticking things up on Facebook.
Yeah, Zuckerberg called. We're overwhelming his servers.
Yeah, so I apologize for that. But yeah, go check it out.
All right. It's been crazy hot here. Like, I don't know what's hot in the summertime is like 26 degrees, 28 degrees. That's nice and warm weather. It's been mid-September, it's been 30, 32 plus. Like, really hot. So everybody's been going to the pool. We took our kids to the pool like every day this week.
Okay.
So I shot some stuff at the pool. That's what I shot that was interesting. Total gong show. People everywhere. But you know my deal with the 40D and the 30mm lens. I take in the water with me.
Sure.
Now, it comes up about sort of halfway between my chest and my swimmers. The pool does. It's about that deep.
Gotcha.
Maybe less. I don't know. My daughter can barely touch. So she can touch, so it's okay. That's how deep it is. And I have this big pool. It was just people everywhere. But my daughter started going down the slide finally. Like, she never did. Like, she's the older one. My son, he's a kamikaze pilot, likes to go head first, doesn't do spins, all this kind of stuff, and he's not even three yet. But my daughter won't do it, so finally she just, boom, broke the seal, and now she loves it. So she's just flying down the slide.
Okay, so you wanted to get that, right?
Got to get photos of that. So I did. I took my camera and got right in there, and just the people staring at me like, what is this guy's issue? Like, why is he bringing this in? Like, and it was kind of stupid, actually, my camera, because there's just people everywhere, and there's a whole bunch of people going down the slide, and the kids are just—they're trying to make big splashes, right? Like, not my kids, but all the like the 14-year-old kids who, you know, I could do without.
Gotcha.
Anyways, and then one kid decided it'd be funny to just, like, standing next to me, just start splashing my camera with his hand. It's like, what's wrong with you?
That's awesome.
Yeah, some 13-year-old kid, and I was like, wow. That's kind of, you're kind of a jerk. I don't mind if my camera gets splashed, but
yeah.
Anyway, I took a couple of photos. There's my daughter going. I convinced her to go head first down the slide.
Yeah.
And my son right behind her, probably going to crack his head on her. And then another one of my son going first and my daughter coming down behind.
Gotcha.
But you can see now, this is with the 30mm lens. So you can see how close I'm getting. This isn't across the pool zoomed in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm right in the landing zone.
Gotcha.
So look at the third picture. You can see how much how wet my camera got.
Yeah, but that's the best picture.
You think so?
Yeah, I like it.
Well, I lost focus. That was on servo mode.
Yeah.
And so once all the water came up, I kind of lost focus.
Yeah, no, I like it. It's just, it's different, right? Like, the other two are fine. Like, for as a parent, for the snapshots that, you know, you like to have those, and it's a memorable time. From, you know, a third party just looking at the photos, I mean, definitely the one with all the splash in the water and the light and the way it's reflecting, and you see that it's your daughter on the slide. Doesn't matter if it's perfectly in focus or not. It's just, it's a really cool looking photo, and that's where I'm coming at it from.
Yes, fair enough. But once again, in our ongoing 49-part series of illustrating why you should have a burner, a beater camera, this is why. I mean, that wasn't the last photo. My wife who was on the edge of the pool said, "Oh no, like your camera's like that took a beating." And it was soaking wet, dripping wet. No.
Now this might be cheating, and this is along the lines of some of the newer camera technology that's out there, but like these cameras that will do 4K video, you could have just kind of basically watched them come down in the 4K video, and then you could literally pull stills, pretty high-res stills from that video, and just I mean, how easy would that be? Like, you, this is the tough version, right?
Yes.
But I'm looking at that going, oh man, like you could pull whatever you want in stills. So one day maybe the beater will be a 4K, one of those little,
yeah.
Those little 4K mirrorless cameras.
Oh, could be.
Yeah.
Could be. Maybe it'll be waterproof, but
well, they have housing and blah blah blah.
Yeah, like, but see, I don't care for all that part. I mean, yes, if I was doing a lot of this, I would get a housing, you know, housing unit for it. But
yeah, then you look like a super nerd too.
Yeah, I look kind of like an idiot, actually.
That's true. Yeah,
but what people didn't understand, I was like, okay, I'm willing for this to be the last photo that this thing takes.
Yeah,
and it got hammered, and it still works. It's still ticking.
Yeah,
I think.
Okay. It's good. I like
hang
it.
Hang on. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the camera. It's still going. So, yeah, totally worthwhile bringing, but wow, what a gong show of people. And plus, it was a really tough scenario because it's like really kind of backlit by the because the sun goes down, you know, early now, right? Because we're getting later in the season. And so the shadows kind of fall. And so I had to do a little bit of Lightroom dancing to bring up the exposure.
Oh, and the other thing I was thinking again, this is where I was going in the first place. The other thing you could have done too with any of these crazy new cameras that maybe people have that are listening is you could have, you know, adjusted the focus so that it was perfect on your subject there. Isn't all this crazy? Like,
yeah.
Forget getting it right, but I mean, it is cool sounding, but like, yeah, I don't know. I'm sure as a purist for you, you're thinking like, come on, if you miss it, you miss it, right?
Oh yeah, I am. I am that purist like that, you know, for good or bad. But that's the whole thing with the 5D Mark IV, which I've kind of heard some varying reviews from and what. We shouldn't get into it today. We'll get into it maybe next week. We'll talk a little bit about it when more info comes in. But I got to say, I'm not as impressed as I was hoping.
Okay.
Spoiler. Teaser. For next
okay.
week. All right, photo challenge.
Photo challenge.
Last week we talked about how to do, you know, one light, two exposures, and so this week was one light, multiple exposures. You took it
right
up a notch.
I tried.
All right. Let's have a look at your photo.
Yeah, mine's an example of I tried and tried. I bit off more than I could chew.
Okay.
I had a vision in my head of what I wanted. I could not achieve it, and then I threw in the towel and walked away. And this is what you get.
This is your first outing, though.
This is my first outing. I was wildly frustrated. I spent far too much time, and I didn't get what I wanted. So
okay.
That's what you're looking at. You're looking at an idea that wasn't fully realized.
Yeah, no, I got that. I like it though. It looks really good. It looks like a real poster.
It looks cool-ish. Yeah, it's kind of one or two steps away from what I was hoping for.
Okay.
So
what were you hoping for?
I was hoping. I mean, we have a green lightsaber. We have a red lightsaber. I was hoping for like a dark side, a sort of light side sort of thing. But all of that in whatever 8 seconds or 6 seconds of exposure, whatever I was working with, you know, moving the kit around, all of those things. So basically, for those of you who aren't looking at the picture when you're listening to this, I try to do a three exposure image, like we talked about on the last show.
You made it happen.
Yeah. So I did the three exposures, but I had my daughter holding like this light up like kid's lightsaber, and so that also basically in the long exposure that light was on the whole time. So she's moving it around as she moves from position one to position two to position three. So you get some like greeny light trail and that moving around as she changes positions and whatnot. So I'm trying to get her to hold it as still as she can in different positions, but there is going to be movement. So there's kind of green streaks. And I envisioned like what I was most sort of particular about was I wanted to see the separation in the three different shots and whatever happened with the lightsaber kind of in between happened because there's just too many variables going on here. Mm-hmm. And so when I got her in the separation that I wanted, 1, 2, 3, probably took me like, I don't know, I'm going to guess at least my Sarah will say 50 tries. I'm going to say more like 30 tries.
Wow.
But it was a whole bunch of tries and frustration. And then it didn't look the way I wanted to, or the lightsaber was held too far in front of her face or whatever it was. So I was wildly frustrated. She was frustrated. We're both frustrated. And this is what I wound up with, was kind of three positions. The one in the middle, I don't love because you can't really see the lightsaber very well at all. Like, I wish that one was, but in other poses, it was right in front of her face. She was holding it straight up and straight down. I didn't like that either. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So here's what we get. But again, in my head, it was going to be three poses, and then I kind of had this dark side lightsaber thing, but it got too hard in the transitioning, the dropping one lightsaber, picking up the other. Like, we just couldn't make it work. So,
you shot this inside?
Shot this in my bedroom with all the lights turned off, mm-hmm. and basically two speed lights, really close range. So I basically held one and had another one on the stand. So I was holding one just off camera left, and then I kind of rolled underneath the camera that was on the tripod to get the one more or less head on in the middle. Mm-hmm. And then the other one was mostly my one light in my hand from one side, and then the other light from the other side. So that third image, kind of a more balanced exposure, less dramatic shadows, was because she gets more of the two lights on her at the same time.
I see.
So she just sort of positioned one. We sort of had three marks. It was like, go here, go here, go here, change where the lightsaber is, mm-hmm. boom. So there's a lot going on in a 6-second window.
In the dark.
In the dark, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and then she's moving forward to back a little bit. So there's just, again, I had it at, I want to say like an F, I don't know, 13, 16, something. I tried to have a small enough aperture so that I wouldn't have to worry about the focus being bang on. And it's a 50 mil lens. So I thought, you know, hopefully she'll not move more than a foot or two front to back so she stays sharp. So mm-hmm. I think it's pretty sharp anyways.
Yes, sharpness is fine, I think.
So, and then you get a little mixed exposure because, like I say, I'm rolling around with one flash. I tried to do it all with one flash. I couldn't do it. So that's why I put the second flash on the other side of the frame. And it's a start. I basically,
is it a start? Reassure me that it's a start and not a finish.
It's close. It's tough. When I think back about what happened here, I'm like, wow, I could fully realize what I wanted to do probably in less time by just snapping three shots and then just photoshopping it together. So I need to get much better at this before it makes sense for me to do it this way. Mm-hmm. Like, I know it's great to get everything done in camera, but when you took as much time and screwing around with the lights and frustration, when I know I could take three photos set up exactly how I wanted in probably 15 minutes and then spend another half hour Photoshop, I'd still probably beat the time it took for this.
For the first time out, probably. But
yeah,
I think you probably learned a lot. First of all, this is with the lightsaber, this is really tough to do three images.
Yeah, I really didn't think it through, that part of it. I saw the potential of how cool the light would look. Mm-hmm. And once I sort of saw that, oh, I look like I'm halfway there, but I stayed halfway there for like 30 minutes. So
yeah, it was so
well, and I didn't really understand how much flash power you really needed to get the good exposure on your subject. So way too many of the photos I tried, and I didn't really understand why. You know, it's the whole picture looks exposed, but my person looks like a transparent ghost, right? So I couldn't understand because I thought, okay, well, is there too much flash? Am I overexposing? And really, you just have to crank that flash power up and have it so close before the person actually, you know, shows up more exposed and darker in the frame, which to me is a complete, you know, it's backwards from how usually it works with flash.
What do you mean?
Does that make any sense?
Backwards. I don't. Well, first of all, you're shooting at probably an ISO 100.
I can't remember because again, like I took the advice that I had to go higher ISO than that because I wanted to have some recycle time on my flash.
Right. Okay.
So and then I couldn't get it quite right, and then I ended up, and again, I don't know what, like, my thought process was, hey, I'm losing the kid here, I got to hurry this up, and then at one point, I think I might have added a variable neutral density filter to get it, to tune it in just a little bit, because I was close, and I thought, okay, every time I bring the flash up or down, I don't get what I wanted, so then I started playing with the neutral density, and again, too many variables going.
Yeah, you don't.
That was probably a grandiose error as soon as I put that on.
If you're not shooting at ISO 100, then you do not need the
image. Oh, I know. And at one point I was at 100, and that's where that went on. And then, like I said, I kept adjusting up and down. And that once that neutral density was on, it wasn't coming back off. Like I said, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that I'm up for this as a future endeavor.
I think you are. But what was the background here?
Just a wall. Just like a dark bluish wall.
But why is it coming up that color?
The green?
Yeah, it's got kind of a weird color in the background.
Well, part of it is because the lightsaber light was kind of leaking through. And then part of it is... I brought up the greens, so it's not that far off the color, but I brought up the greens, and then that brought the wall with it. Yeah, it's kind of an aqua marine-ish type of wall.
Because your life would be much easier in this situation if you had a lot more room from your subject to the background. I mean,
absolutely, I was back as far as I could go.
That's kind of what ends up happening when you get light spilling onto the back wall. Now your subject. Like the middle subject that sort of then becomes the little bit of a ghost because she's competing with that back wall.
Right.
Like that back wall is shining through. If it's darker, it's not gonna show, she'll be just fine.
Oh yeah. And that was my problem. In my house, controlling the variables, there isn't an empty wall anywhere except for this wall in our bedroom. And so this is this largest, emptiest space, except for it's only like, 4 feet from where she's standing to where I can position because of like computer desks and blah, blah, blah. I can't get any further back with the tripod. So this is just what I'm dealing with. At one point, I actually thought I might shoot with the wide angle just to give myself even more room.
Sure.
But I basically stuck with the 50 millimeter. And just like I say, I did. For a first outing, I did my best. I think I might have learned something. I'm not sure what it is, but it's in there somewhere. I let's talk about yours because I like yours much better.
Okay, but before we get to mine, I'll make two quick suggestions. Okay, for the future.
Go for it.
One, when you're in a controlled environment, like a small environment like this, you will do much better to only have two poses. I mean, when you're making one pose. You know, I think it's exponential when you start adding the multiple poses within the same frame.
Yeah.
So
agreed, 100%. I wish I had just two poses: red lightsaber, green lightsaber. Right. Absolutely. When I did this, I'm like, darn it! Can I just Photoshop out the middle picture and change one from green to red in post, and then I'd be happy? But no, yes. It's not. And I even like the way the exposures would have looked with the dark on one side and the lighter on the other side. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I thought. So I appreciate you being on that same page.
I'm gonna drop the math on it. It's let's call it. You know, so if you're taking a picture of just your daughter, that's going to be 2 to the power of 0, which is 1. It's a 1 to take that photo.
Okay.
Okay. 2 to the power of 1 is the next step up with two people. It's 2 to the power of 1 is going to be a 2. So twice as hard.
Mm-hmm.
3 poses is 2 to the power of 3. Sorry, 2 to the power of 2 at that point. If we're going up by 1, that's going to be 4 times harder.
Yeah.
Get what I'm saying? So you go from 1 to 2 to 4. If you add another one, it's going to be 8 times harder. So just adding 1 doesn't make it 3 times harder. It's easily 4 times harder. And in fact, it's probably goes like 1 to 8 probably is what it is.
Yeah.
Realistically. So that becomes very difficult. Now, before we get to mine, which I very specifically tried to avoid... Like I wanted to do multiples. I didn't want to just do 2, like you said. But I put myself in a position where I knew I would want to avoid this, the background spill. So I went outside in the dark so that there would be none of that. For the most part, none of it. Now, before we get to mine, my suggestion for you is to try this again. But your daughter's, she does dancing, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I would find out if you could shoot this at her dance recital practice area, which is going to be much larger than your house, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to be able to control the fall off. You can keep her really far from the background, although there's probably mirrors everywhere. But
there is mirrors.
It might still be cool if it depends on where you position the light, and you could have a nice wide shot and you could basically get four different shots of her in different dance poses and keep the light off the background. So that's a situation of where it'll be infinitely easier than what you've done here. And the results, I think you'll like them. They'll be really quite cool. You'll be doing them for the whole class, actually.
Yeah.
At some point. All right, so let's have a look at mine. Pretty self-explanatory of what the subject is.
Gotcha. Baseball.
Yeah, a pitcher. Yeah. So this is our Canadian import, Alex. And I said
this guy was in another picture recently, right?
Yeah, he's shown up a couple times. So I think he thinks I might have an infatuation with him.
Yeah, I'm like, this is kind of getting creepy.
Well, I thought about that, but I said, look, I need a pitcher, and this guy just looks like a pitcher. Like that's one of the reasons we bring guys in is not just because they know how to play, but they sort of know how to feel how to play, if that makes any sense.
No. Can you explain it? No, I'm kidding.
You got it. So, and plus he likes to wear the old school stirrups and all that stuff, which aren't that popular anymore. So I was like, that's going to be a great picture. So he actually has really good mechanics, and that was part of what I wanted. And so we waited. I waited until I told him, hey, bring your uniform to practice. And once the sun goes down, we'll shoot. And so we did, and it got dark out, but then we had to wait like another 45 minutes until it was dark. And even so, you can still see the tree line in the photo, I think.
My monitor, I can just see the edge of the baseline. And
it depends on the monitor. On one of my screens, you cannot. It just falls off in a complete blackness. On this monitor I'm looking at right now, you can see a little bit of the fence in behind him and the tree line at the top. In retrospect, if I was going to spend more time on this one, I would Photoshop that and kind of make it all black.
Yeah.
Wasn't interested. So I wanted this to be out of the camera. And this is out of camera. No.
Okay.
Well, not other than that. This is actually out of camera. I didn't do anything.
So show how many lights and what were your settings here?
Well, I thought the challenge was one light, multiple exposure, so it's only one light.
Okay.
I used the... Normally, for this kind of situation, I would use the SB28, my old Nikon that I don't mind beating up, but I needed the powerhouse. I needed to get the 580 EX2 that I have, because it recycles much faster.
Okay.
So, it got nice and dark, 50mm lens... shot it. I wanted the ISO nice and low because I knew there'd be a lot of dark in the image. I didn't want there to be noise introduced. And that put us at, I was able to time it to be a 6-second exposure further to be pretty much, well, in this case, almost no ambient light for 6 seconds at an F4 would give me a good dark exposure. Now, the F4 I chose specifically because it corresponded to the flash and the ISO of 100, but more specifically the flash, I wanted to use it at around 1/8 power in order to get the recycle time fast enough where I wouldn't lose, like I'd be able to pop it three times.
Right.
Right? Well, it's four pops, but you don't count the first recycle time or the last one. So you only need three recycle times.
Gotcha.
So that's why I wanted it to be around 1/8. And that's it. So I got the camera on a tripod, focused using live view. It's pitch black. So, I had the other guy there, Clarence, he held the flashlight on Alex's face. So I used live view to focus, turned the flashlight off, and then said, okay, go. And once he would go, I would just pop the flash with, I'd use the CyberSync remote, like in my hand. Not on the camera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just pop it. Bam, 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 bam. So the first one I did, this is probably like the sixth or seventh one. The first one I did, I thought, oh, it's going to be, more the merrier, right? Like, it's going to be look cool if there's like 19 images. But they just all blur together. There's not enough left to right movement, especially at the beginning of his motion.
Right.
Like when he's going over the head and then gearing up to throw, there's not enough lateral movement to necessitate number of that many images. So right. The first one just looked like a blurry mess. So quickly I realized that four was going to be the magic number.
Okay.
Of what I wanted. And so this is pretty much what I was hoping for. The only thing I would have liked is the fourth one would have been a little, like split second earlier so we would have seen the ball released.
Yeah, yeah, that was my only my only thought as well. Was it'd be nice to see the ball, but other than that, like I love it. Looks great.
Yeah, it's cool. It's pretty much what I had in my mind. You know, to show the different you know, aspects, and I don't mind the fact that like if you look at his feet, you can see there's some ghosting there.
Yeah, no, I actually like that.
Yeah. And so
it shows you that you know this wasn't done as four separate images, or at least it'd be tough to do that with four separate images.
It'd be like, a lot more work than I'd want to do.
Exactly. So yeah. I actually like that because and the way his arm crosses the body of each picture. No, I think it looks great. I think he probably, this is something that he should put in a frame on his wall.
Yeah, he can't have it.
Okay.
Forget right. it. No, for sure. Like, that's why, I mean, because this did take a lot longer than I was hoping, and not so much art, like my time, just the, I was kind of surprised at how dark it needed to get in order for this to happen, because again, I didn't want anything in the background. I wanted it to be that darkness, right?
Right, yeah.
And so we had to wait, like I said, 45 minutes after dark until it got dark. And even then, I didn't know this. We had a very short window until the moon actually came out and was quite bright that night.
And have you showed the pitcher this picture?
Yes.
And what did he think?
I've not heard. He's on his way to Oktoberfest.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, he's like, whatever.
No,
thanks.
No. He's very appreciative of this kind of stuff. Like he appreciates the uniqueness and whatnot. But I think the main takeaway here is that it was for me it was a much better experience than last week when, first of all, you know, my daughter's 5 and so she's a little more difficult to work with, and it was also my first time doing it, so I experienced a lot of the frustrations that you're talking about. And the second time out, all those little like the learning curve was much steeper.
Okay.
Or narrower, shallower. What is it? What is it when it's good? Whichever
better,
those two are.
Faster, quicker. Faster. Yeah. No. This is great, and I wish, and I don't know if it's realistic or not, because the dance studio one. I love the idea. I doubt that I'm going to be able to get in that dance studio and do that. But pretty unlikely for, I mean, their studio time is a premium and blah, 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 but there's a better chance I might be able to do something like this at the hockey rink. And because the hockey rinks are dark, it might be actually a little easier to pull it off as well.
You need dark. You need pitch black.
Yeah, I'm not going to get that.
No, I mean, in order to, because here's the thing is like, in order to make this happen, you're looking at minimum, give yourself 6 seconds. I mean, I didn't need.
But like I said, I can do that with the neutral density filter.
Yeah, then you need some serious flash power.
Yeah.
Like you now you absolutely have to use.
The strobe, like the studio strobe.
Your studio strobe. Yeah.
Which, by the way, I'm selling, not the studio strobe, I'm selling the battery pack, so I won't
really
be taking that with, today I'm selling it.
Oh, okay.
I put it back on the market a week ago, so little caveat, I basically gave it another whatever 6 months, I used it one time, it's clearly, I there's situations where I could bring it, and I always find a way to do it without, so that right there says that money is wasted sitting in a box, and every additional 6 months I have it probably devalues it. So
sure,
I'm just gonna unload it for pretty close to, I think last year I said I wanted to get 300 for it. I'm gonna get 275 for it, so close enough.
That sounds reasonable to me.
Sounds reasonable to me. So yeah. I'm gonna put that money somewhere else, probably into a one of these crazy fancy point and shoots that I've been talking about the last couple of weeks.
Ah, you know what? I've been thinking about that.
They're again, I have to buy one. I'm obsessed now. So.
I don't think you should.
No, you don't think I should?
No, I don't think you should. First of all, I'm looking at our time on the show that we've gone really long on the photo challenge. And I think there's a lot of information there.
Yes.
So that's actually the topic this week. Is
the topic is what we just talked about.
Yeah, that's the topic. So we're not going to go into a whole other topic. That'll be for next week.
Okay.
But a note on, I've been thinking a lot about your cameras because I looked at some of them online. They look cool. They do look cool. But here's the rub.
Okay.
Here's why I would not get one.
Okay.
I don't like automatic anything. And I don't mean automatic exposure or automatic, like that stuff, obviously I don't. I don't like power windows in the car.
Okay.
Because they break. They end up, somehow they let you down. Like has this ever, I mean, maybe not so much anymore, like it's not the 1970s anymore, where that, you know, the shelf life of your, you know, power windows was 6 months. Now they tend to work, right?
Yeah.
But there are little things that go wrong, you know? And so a camera like this, it's all in one. It's a zoom lens. If one little piece stops working,
yeah,
you can't use that camera. It's
true.
Done.
Yeah.
And that's the issue with yours. Like if you, you know, with your DSLR, with your 6D, if all right, you got the 70 to 200 on there and all of a sudden it won't autofocus. Well, that's no fun.
Yeah.
Your whole camera's not dead.
True. Now, okay, so here is the camera that I'm thinking of, and it might help sway you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's Panasonic Lumix LX100. It's a micro four thirds sensor in a camera body that is pretty tiny. It does. It has a fixed lens on it. I think it's an equivalent of 24-70 type lens.
That's
right?
Not fixed, but lens though.
Oh, I just mean like you can't take it off the camera.
Oh,
like,
okay.
So it's stuck on the camera. Whatever you want to call that.
Fixed.
Yeah. It's fixed to the camera.
I see what
it's
you
not,
mean.
It's not a prime, but it's fixed to the camera. So it's that. It is all manual, everything. It is so cool in that on the top of the camera, there's an aperture dial. There's a shutter speed dial. There's there's three or four dials that are all for your manual everything. So it's really, truly not an automatic lens. It is like it has a control ring on it. It shoots 4K video. It's got full Wi-Fi. It's about $800. I think the price tag on it is about $800 Canadian. Varies, you know, a little bit either way. But then I think in the US it's about six something.
Mm-hmm.
It looks amazing. Now, like you say, the only thing I could see the downside is like the Sony one. There's so many different moving parts. Like it retracts right into its body and has like even the, there's no lens cap. Like it closes on itself. Like this is more like a hybrid of a micro four thirds with sort of a full, like, you know, one of those old school power shot cameras, those Canon power shots, which again, well, they still have them, but that fold into itself. So it's slightly bigger than the tiniest Sony, but it's a four thirds sensor instead of the Sony ones are a 1-inch sensor size. So you get a much bigger sensor. It's only 12 megapixels, which to me equals big sensor plus smaller megapixels equals that sweet spot like the 5D Classic. And it looks like just an interchangeable lens camera, except for the lens stays on, which to me means less chance for dust accumulation in the sensor and whatnot. I'm 4K video. I don't know if I said that, which I don't need, but you can pull the stills from it. That's why I was thinking about that. The price tag is like a nice lens. So in terms of a gamble on it, I'm like, okay, well, if I buy, you know, a $600 lens, oh, it's a 1.7 to 2.8 through the range. So when you're zoomed all the way into to whatever 70 millimeters, then it goes to a 2.8. But when you're on the widest end of it, you know, the 24 millimeter end, then you get a 1.7. So you get a huge amount of light into this pretty decent sized sensor for a tiny little compact camera. I'm like, that sounds perfect in terms
so
of what
it's
I want.
F1.7 to an
F2.8. Yeah, depending on where you are in
so
the zoom
we're,
range.
We're not going to do it right now, but in the future, do you want to hear the difference between f-stop and t-stop?
F-stop and t-stop. I don't. Well, sure, because I don't even know
what
t-stop is.
I'll tell you what. We'll talk. I'm actually asking the listeners. Do you want us to go over t-stops and f-stops?
I'm going to say yes, because I have no idea what a T-stop is.
Okay, we'll get into that
Except in power skating.
Well, either... Oh, yeah, okay.
T-start,
well,
more like...
depending on what the listeners want to know, if you guys want to know that, we'll get into that. If not, I'll just tell Adam off the air.
Okay.
So there's
okay.
That. So Let us know, and we'll definitely get into that. It's kind
if anybody has one of these cameras too, I'd love to hear what you think. That's a this is a 2014 Panasonic camera.
So you're thinking about like you said before, you're going to go to Disneyland. Like this would be your Disneyland camera.
Oh yeah, or any place where I don't want to carry the big camera. Like I figure that this would be, pretty much would stay in my pocket when I go out, especially go out places with the kids. It would just be in my pocket, and the DSLR is, you know, specifically when I need to have the absolute best image quality, which isn't all the time, right? Like there's certain things, like we're gonna probably at some point go to Vernon in the snow. And that's another situation where I don't really want to carry my big camera. So there's probably five or six family little trips a year. I will never take a DSLR on a trip again if I buy something like this. This will sort of be my dedicated trip camera where I don't have to, I don't want to worry about, you know, the hotel room and, you know, when I'm sitting and having dinner, where am I going to put this camera or just all those things. It's just becomes, well, it just goes in my jacket pocket, right?
That is definitely a concern I share, especially when I have to fly back and forth to Vancouver and that, and like for video work, it was always kind of promised that, oh, yeah, it's all getting smaller. Well, it gets smaller, but then you add more stuff.
Yeah.
So now I'm shooting with a DSLR, but, you know, where I had the XL1 before, but now I have four or five lenses instead of just the one lens.
Right. And that's what I figure with this camera. It's not an accumulated expense. Whatever I buy... Like when I buy that camera, I don't want an interchangeable lens system for that reason. Or if I did, I want one that's got a super sharp, like 18 to 55.
Right.
And that's that, because that's all I would use. Because I thought, okay, well, the mirrorless options are great as well, but they start to get in body size bigger. So I want something super compact, because if I go to a Vancouver Canadiens baseball game, again, I'd love to have a few shots of what's going on, but I don't think that it warrants me bringing the SLR. The pain of bringing that camera for three photos that I would take, it's just not worth it. I got to jam it under my feet. I got to worry about it and blah, blah, blah. So this is, what I'm noticing is there's a lot of situations in my life where I want to have a camera. I'm not happy with the phone as the suitable backup. And I'd like to have something that's in between. Now, unfortunately, the price tag on something good is, you know, well, if you can find it used, $600. But if not, you're looking at eight plus. So sometimes $1,000. So yeah, I'm selling the battery, and then that basically, you know, I feel like, okay, well, then that's halfway there to my six, and then, you know, I'll sell something else possibly, or at least I could think that, okay, $300 of my own money invested is worth it to me. I feel like six or seven isn't, in terms of what I'm going to make this camera do for me. Like, not a lot of these pictures, I imagine, are going up on the wall. Some of them will be for the web. Some of them will just be for capturing moments. I like the ease of video. I feel like I haven't done as much video of my kids, and my kids love the videos on themselves. And that's mostly because I find the videoing on the DSLR more of a hassle.
Oh, yeah.
So I could see this as kind of being my dedicated video. So, again, mostly for me and the kids. But today, this morning, this is running long. But my kids spent half an hour this morning at breakfast just watching their old videos on themselves, and they do that all the time. So I feel like I should contribute to these years as well. And that's where, the phone video, I don't like it.
You sold me.
There you go.
I mean, sold me for you buying one. I'm not going to, but, you know, I'll definitely pose for a few photos next time you're around.
Okay.
So, yeah. All right. Do it then.
Okay, I'll keep you posted. And
report back. Awesome. Photo challenge for next week.
Okay, you had one that we kind of didn't get to, right?
Yeah, I'm actually going by what happened this week for you. I'm going to make your life a lot easier, and we're going to go with four lights. You have four lights.
Oh, great. Yep. That sounds amazing.
It's going to be easier than what you've done already this week. It's still be easier. Four lights is the challenge this week. Websites, Adam, where can people find your stuff?
I don't remember. Adam
Guess
Schwartz.
Guess who's on Life Tilt?
AdamSchwartz.ca, and sometimes the Two Hosers Facebook and your stuff.
You can find my stuff at AlanAttridge.com or the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can find the links, the photos, everything we just talked about, and the Amazon link, of course. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.